Greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last Lord's Day, we studied the first one world government and how the Lord had to stop it. In that scenario, the people were led by a man. His name was Nimrod. And the people had one language. It started with the people already united by the same language, with the same background, and they were in the same vicinity or location. So it was pretty easy for Nimrod to rally the people together and to convince them to follow him, to worship him, to do what he wanted. And God had to disperse them because it was not God's time. And so the confusion of languages was used by God to disperse the people. They were able to plan to communicate. And then one morning when they woke up, the ability to communicate suddenly disappeared. They were speaking a brand new language that they have never learned. And they had to separate according to their lineage. They separated according to the lineage of the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem remained in the Middle East. Japheth went up north, the northern hemisphere, today would be Europe. And Ham went down south, the southern hemisphere. But today, thousands of years later, after Genesis 11, the second one world government will be the reverse. In order for it to succeed, the similarity would be it will have to be a man. It will have to be one language. You cannot control people who do not understand you. Because now, the people are distributed throughout the four corners of the world. And they are probably more than the number that followed Nimrod in Genesis 11. We are now talking about how many billions of people, 6-7 billion people all over the world. And the world is now divided into many nations. And these little nations have their own leader. And so the aim and the purpose for this second one world government to become a reality would involve a man whose personality will have to be so strong whereby all these leaders of their own respective little nations, like Singapore, Japan, Korea, all the African nations, all the European nations, including the big boys such as what we call the superpowers, China, Russia, America, maybe you can also include Britain, even though they might have lost their superpower status at the end of Second World War. They too will also have to kowtow to this one man for this one world government to succeed. And yet we realize that God had prophesied that it will succeed. And so we need to look at what kind of man with what kind of attributes or characteristics that can be so strong and so dominant that would be able to get all the many hundreds of leaders throughout all the distributed nations of the world to bow down to him, to surrender their little power, their sovereignty, their currency to this one man. And so look at Revelation 13, verse 1 and verse 2, and at the same time, look at verse 11, because we cannot look at this man without his assistant. Verse 11 describes his assistant. Verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 13 describe the man himself. Of course, there are other passages that also give us more description of what this character would be. He has to be someone that has a personality where the world would adore, where the world would look up to, so much so that they are prepared to surrender their own sovereignty and power to this one man. Look at him.
And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Where is the sea? This is the sea of humanity, the sea of man. So we know that he will be a man, and he will rise up, and he will become like a beast. Now, the word beast here must not be confused with the use of the beast found in Revelation chapter 4, where it describes 4 angelic beings. In English, it is the same word beast. But in the original language, the one in Revelation 4 simply describes living beings. But the beast used here in Revelation 13 describe a wild, venomous, evil animal. A wild beast, in other words. It is not a description that this beast is alive. This word describes the nature of the beast. The one in Revelation 4 simply describes that they are living beings. Angelic beings that are alive, ministering, serving God Almighty in heaven. But this is a description of the characteristic of the man that is able to grasp and hold the attention of billions of people, that they are prepared to bow down to him and surrender their soul and their lives to this man. He is dangerous. He is venomous. And he is powerful. And he will rise up out of the sea, possessing 7 heads and 10 horns. This is a description of the devil himself. That means he will have the attribute of the devil. And the devil is the one who will energize him. And the devil will be introduced to us here as the dragon, as you can see in chapter 2. Chapter 13, verse 2b, the dragon. So he will have the attribute and the characteristic of the devil. Now, if you know the devil as revealed to us in the Bible, he's cunning, he's subtle, devious, diabolical, heartless, wicked, all the bad things that you could imagine, it will be found in the devil. Definitely a liar, a deceiver. Upon his horns, 10 crowns. So he will become a leader, a prince. And upon his head, what do you have on his name? Blasphemy. Now, of course, the world will not see this as blasphemous. This is from God's perspective. He will be known as blasphemy. And what are the things that he's going to say that will be from God's perspective, that means the Bible's perspective, as blasphemous? And you can see this in verse 4. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, these are rhetorical questions that are found in the Old Testament that refers only to Christ. Nobody else. And now he is going to use these rhetorical questions to describe himself. Now, what will happen to him that will allow him to make this kind of boast and claim that the world will lap it up, the world will embrace him and believe in him? Whereas from God's perspective, it is blasphemous, but from man's perspective, it is praiseworthy. It is adoration. You and I know how man loves to adore man. They are called idols. There are programs on television that are named after idols. They may be very good singers. And so you have the program called American Idol. Right? And so these are great singers. And so you have followers who will imitate them in their singing, imitate them in their dressing, imitate them in every way possible. And some of them will go to the extent of going through surgery to make them look like their idol. So there is this innate desire in man to worship another man. And this man will succeed. The Bible said that the beast which John saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. These are the three creatures that are also found in Daniel chapter 2, whereby it described for us the kingdoms that conquered Israel in the time of Daniel, one after the other. Leopard was the imagery that God used to characterize the kingdom of Greece, Alexander the Great. The bear, the Medo-Persian Empire. The lion, the empire of the Babylonian. They are world conquerors in their time over Israel. That means the Antichrist will have the characteristics of the Grecian Empire, the characteristics of the Babylonian Empire, and the characteristics of the Persian Empire all wrapped into one. Unstoppable, in other words. No one will be able to stop him, and he will succeed. And the Bible tells us that he will be energized by the devil himself and his seat, as well as with great authority to control. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. What it means is that this beast will be assassinated, and then the dragon and all the followers of this beast will let the world know as if he had actually been killed, when in reality he would be severely wounded but not unto death. But the world will be told that he had been killed, and then he will be resurrected from the dead, so that the world will see him as having returned from the dead. Now, why would he want to do that? So that he can use the Bible. Because in the Bible, you have portions of the scriptures that describe someone who is known as the Messiah, the Christ. And he will be killed and he will be resurrected from the dead. This beast is no ordinary beast. He is also known as the capital A Antichrist. In other words, he will now present himself to the world as someone who is like Christ. And he will use the Bible to authenticate that he is the one that God had prophesied according to the Bible who will come in the future. Now, he is imitating the characteristics of the first coming of Christ. The first coming of Christ described Christ as the Savior. He comes to save. The second coming of Christ is a description of Christ coming to judge. Very different reason concerning the first and the second. Why do you think he imitated all the elements of the first coming of Christ? Because he wanted to present to the world that he is the Savior. That is why the Bible called him Antichrist, against Christ. But the world will see him as their Savior, because he is going to deceive them, energized by the dragon, just as God the Father gave the power to God the Son to do the miracles, to tell the world that he is indeed the Messiah. The Antichrist, this beast, will copy and imitate and do the same. And this time round, the Bible tells us God will allow them to succeed. And they will succeed. You look at verse 11. He will be assisted by someone who is the opposite of him. He is presented as ferocious. He is presented as very cunning and deadly. and authoritative. But the one who helped him, another beast just like him, same word, beast, venomous, wild, evil creature, another of the same kind. He also came out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. In contrast to this beast, the first one, seven heads, ten horns, very powerful, very ferocious, like the devil. But this one will present himself as someone that is very meek, very mild-mannered. And you look at him, you see him like a fatherly figure. He will speak very softly. He will look very meek and very, very trustworthy. But the Bible warns us, he spoke as a dragon. The words that come out of his mouth may be very soft spoken, very quiet, but when you evaluate the word, the content of it, just like the dragon, just as diabolical, just as devilish as the first beast. But the approach will be different. So you have the fierce one and you have the meek one. Combined together, they will manage to deceive the world and they will succeed. Because this second beast, his duty is to promote the first beast. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, verse 12, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. That means together, both of them, they will succeed in getting the world to bow down to the Antichrist, the first beast. So the second beast is to promote the first beast. Do you remember the role and the function of the Trinity? The Father sent the Son. The Son ministered on earth to glorify God, to promote God. The Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to promote Christ, to bring to remembrance the teaching of Christ. And what you see here, therefore, is known as the unholy Trinity. The dragon sent and empowered the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will promote the dragon. The false prophet, this beast, second beast, is like the Holy Spirit ministry. He will promote the Antichrist, just as the Holy Spirit will promote Christ. They will succeed. They will imitate the Trinity as much as possible. That means they will use the Bible to support their claim that they are indeed from heaven. Christianity, by this time, will only be apostate Christianity. And you know what apostate Christianity means. It means that the people who call themselves Christians at the time are known as goats. They are not born again in Christ. That's why they will miss the rapture. They will remain behind and they will play church. They will pretend to be Christian, but they do not know that they are being deceived. They think they are really Christian, but they are not, because they have been duped by the dragon, by the Antichrist, and by the Holy Spirit. And when these unholy Trinity use the Bible to authenticate the reality of the Antichrist as the Messiah, as the Christ, the world will believe. That man will succeed and he will become, for the first time in the history of mankind, the ruler of the whole world. Look at the method or the means in which he accomplished it. Now remember, he wanted worship. He wanted adoration, not from one nation, from the whole world. And he will succeed. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, because the Antichrist will point the world to the dragon who gave him power. Just as the false prophet, the other beast in verse 11, will point people to the Antichrist. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now you now look at verse 12. He will cause the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now you look at how he did it. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. So this false prophet or the other beast will now authenticate the claim of the Antichrist as the Messiah, the Christ, by performing false miracles. He will make fire come down from heaven. Do you know of any Old Testament account of fire coming down from heaven to judge? Many. Remember Mount Carmel? The fire came down from heaven. Remember how fire came down from heaven to consume the first offerings of Aaron and his sons in Leviticus chapter 9. Remember the judgment of God when fire and brimstone came down to destroy Sodom, Gomorrah, and all the cities in that region, which we now call the Dead Sea area. Fire from heaven, they will imitate. These are false miracles. The miracle is real. It is really fire from heaven. We call it false because the source is not God. The true miracles in the Bible performed by God and Christ and the disciples and the prophets in the Bible, the source is God. It is supernatural, but the source is God. This one, we call it false because even though it was supernatural, the source is the dragon. That's why we call it false. It is meant to deceive, to let the people know that this is indeed the Son of God. That's what they're going to claim, that this Antichrist is the Son of God and the dragon will be presented as God. Sure, the Bible called him the dragon. He's not going to come and tell you that he is the dragon. You look at all the false worship in our time. If they were to tell you that if you come to this church, you are actually worshiping the devil, nobody will go. That's why many of these false churches, they say that they are also followers of Jesus Christ. If you do not know scriptures, if you do not have discernment, you will be duped. And you're going to be deceived. And we see in our lifetime, millions of people all over the world have been deceived. And they will succeed all the more in the last day. False miracle. Now don't forget, during this same time period, God would send two witnesses, one of them Elijah, to also do miracles. And that's why you wondered, how come the world could not see and believe when God sent these two powerful witnesses to do miracles? Because of the false miracles, to challenge the miracles done by the two witnesses revealed to us in the early chapters of this book of Revelation. And the result, look at verse 14 of Revelation 11, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, the Antichrist, to promote him, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, to what end? Which had the wound of a sword and did live, resurrected from the dead. He is God, in other words, make an image to bow down to him. You may ask yourself, how come they make an idol? Because they are not truly born again in Christ. That's why they will not make an idol. That's why they will not look up to a man. That's why they will look only to Christ. Any church where the pastor will point you to himself, he has turned himself to become your idol, whereby you are beholden to him, whereby you think that he is the one who has helped you fix your life. He is the one who has helped you give meaning to your life. That is an idol. And that is what the Antichrist will do, and the false prophet or the second beast will cause the world to do for the first beast. Because if the first beast were to ask them to make an idol for himself, it will not sound very good. It will not have the right impact. But when it comes from another person and asks the world to make an idol in praise and worship of this first beast, who has been resurrected from the dead, and through the miracles, he will be presented as if he is the Son of God. And it will succeed. And not only that, for the first time, an idol will speak. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. These will be the believers. They will never bow down, and many of them will die. And you will read that in the later chapters of the book of Revelation. Many believers will pay for it with their life because they refuse to bow down to the beast. But the rest of the world, they would. And they did. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and born, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, so that no man might buy or sell, save that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So the method or the means in which you will get the whole world to kowtow to this Antichrist. False miracle, the threat of death, economic sanction. Are these not the similar methods that you find in our world today, albeit to a smaller degree, smaller scale? Many of these superpowers, they are using the same. You do not do what we want. Economic sanction. They use their power to bully smaller nations into obeying and following what they desire of them. And they will soon have a taste of their own medicine when the superpower, the Antichrist, super of all superpower, rise up to the fore. And this time he will succeed. God had already prophesied, dear friend. God tells us that he will be given a mouth that will speak great things, verse 5, and blasphemy. And power will be given to him only for 3.5 years. Because after that, God will unleash his wrath. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, where the world will not understand nor believe because they are dead in sin. Do you know that when the world tried to turn homosexuality into a normal way of life, do you know that that is a blasphemy against God? Because it is a direct contradiction of what the Bible says. That's a blasphemy. Does the world know? Of course not. They think it is fine. They think it is normal. You and I know it's blasphemy. You and I know that it is a clear teaching against the word of God. They don't. And his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So many believers will be killed by him. And he was given power over all kindreds, all tongues, and all nations, so that all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's how we know that this second attempt at the one world government, which is impossible from our perspective, God revealed to us. It is not only possible, God guaranteed it will come to pass. You ask yourself one simple question. If God knew that it will come to pass, why didn't God disband them? Why didn't God stop them? Just as he did in Genesis 11 in the first attempt. Because this is in accordance to God's will. God wanted this to happen. Do you know why? Because at the end of this short reign of the Antichrist and the false prophet, the second beast, God will say to men, the sins of men are now full. It is now time for judgment. That's why. So that when God judged this world with fire and burned everything up, men cannot say that God has overpunished sinful man. Man cannot say that God has no right to punish man. God says, this is my world, my home, and you are only tenants in my world and my home, and you have now soaked it in sin upon sin upon sin, despite sending all the prophets, despite all my servants, my children, whom I have left behind after salvation to witness to you. You have massacred them, you have persecuted them, you have killed them. Your time is up, in other words. That's why God allowed this second attempt at a one-world government to succeed, even though from our perspective, it would be seen as an impossibility. Do you know how hard it was for God to bring the people out of Egypt in the book of Exodus? In order for the Exodus to succeed, God had to move the heart of 2 million over Jews, all of them born in Egypt, never been to the land of promise. God had to move the heart of Moses, one man, to lead them. And then God had to move the heart of how many more millions of Egyptians and Pharaoh, the most powerful man at the time in Egypt, to release, to allow, and to want to let 2 million free labor go. Millions of hearts have to be ordered by God, and it had to be done all at the same time in order for the Exodus to succeed. You realize that? If they all agree, but they are not at the same time, the timing was not right. It will not work. If Egyptians want to let them go, but the Israelites don't want to go, it will not work. The Israelites want to go. Moses doesn't want to lead, it will not work. Moses want to lead, the people didn't want to go, it will not work. And we're not talking about only a handful of people, we're talking about the hearts of millions of people. And yet, the Exodus became a reality. And what we have read here tonight concerning Revelation 13 would be many times more than just a few million. We are talking about billions of people kowtowing to one man in genuine, sincere worship, albeit false, from God's perspective, but they do not know. And when you look at our world today, do you not see that it is ready, ripe, and primed for such a man to come up and reveal himself, where the world will kowtow to him? What will cause all these small little leaders in all their small little nations to give up their rulership? Poverty. Collapse of the economy. Terrorism. Where everyone in all these nations suffer fear, loss of peace of mind. Are we not seeing this? Our economy is going to explode, it's going to implode, and the world is going to be devastated. We have already tasted a little bit of this in the past few years. You can use different words to describe it, recession or whatever word you want to describe it, but it is a foretaste. Our system, the economic system, is a system that cannot last because everyone is living on future earnings, what they think the economy will be. They call it stocks and shares. They buy and buy into companies thinking that this company is going to be the next big one. And so they buy into this company. When the companies collapse, everything will collapse. We have seen this in the big scale. But now when it happens, it will be a global scale. And then this one man will rise up and he will imitate the first coming of Christ and come as what? Savior. Savior of man, not of their eternity from hell, not in terms of forgiveness of sin. Savior of everything carnal and material. To save them from the economic poverty. To save them from the physical, mental torture no longer experiencing peace when they send their children to school because there is shooting, there is bombing. No longer safe when they go to concert, when they go to anywhere. even taking a walk across a bridge to enjoy, people can be mowed down and be killed. They are losing peace of mind, and there will come a point where they cannot take it anymore. What is the point of holding on to a tiny little sovereignty when we are now starving, when we do not have peace of mind? And then this beast will rise up, and then he will control. And he will offer them peace. But on one condition: I become your leader. I control all your army. But I will guarantee you and promise you the kind of peaceful life that you all have been longing for and crying for. Is it not ready? The system is already primed. The technology has already been possible for one man to control. All your bank accounts are all linked by the computer. It can happen overnight, where they can freeze all your funds. All your credit card, all your ATM card can be rendered useless. Just like that. Isn't that true? They were not possible in the past. But now, it has already begun. You have seen this. The courts have done that to individuals whom they suspect that they might be criminals. You freeze their funds. They cannot use anything that is in their name in all their bank accounts. Isn't that true? But I have hidden a lot of money under my pillow. You might say, I've done the same. But in my bolster. You can't buy, you can't sell without the mark. So even if you have money, when you go to the shop and buy, show me the mark of the beast. Even though you have cash, you can't use it. That's how they control. And then with your children crying and starving, anyone who assists you will also be killed. This is going to be the scenario, dear friend. Once the evil one rises to power, he will use peace to gain himself into the highest seat and authority. Give him power and his seat and great authority. And the true color, his evil, venomous nature will be revealed. But it's too late. He has already been made power, the most powerful man in the whole world. And when he shows his true colors, it's too late. He has already gained control. It will succeed. So the Bible says, he who hath ear to hear, let him hear. The ones who are led into captivity by the devil, they shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. That means they will get their just reward in God's time. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What are you going to do with this revelation? Prophetic revelations are meant to impact our present. You remember young Joseph when he was languishing in prison? He wanted to get out of prison, even though he was a godly witness and testimony in prison. But he never wanted to stay in prison. Who wanted to? And so one morning he woke up. He did not know that it would be the last morning or last night that he's going to spend in prison. Because at the end of that morning, that day, he will find himself sleeping in the palace. Because God gave a dream or two dreams to Pharaoh. And the two dreams are one and the same in terms of message. 7 years of great plenty followed by 7 years of great famine. Nobody could understand the dream except Joseph. And so Joseph was brought before Pharaoh and the request was, interpret the dream for me. And so Joseph did it with God's enabling, giving all the glory to God. And after he explained it, what did he do? He was asked only to explain. And he explained it. And so the prophecy that he gave to Pharaoh was, God wanted you to know that now there will be 7 years of great plenty in Egypt, which will immediately be followed by 7 years of great famine. And the famine will be so severe that the people will very soon forget about the 7 years of great plenty. And the reason why it is given to you twice, O king, is to confirm the matter that it will happen. What did Joseph do next? He understood the purpose of prophecy. He told Pharaoh what to do. Right now, what you need to do during the 7 years of great plenty is this, in order to make sure that your kingdom, Egypt, will not be destroyed by the 7 years of great famine. You now must build storehouses in all your major cities. And then you tax the people 20%. Because during the years of great plenty, when you tax them 20%, they will still have more than enough to eat with the remaining 80%. And that's exactly what Pharaoh did. And Pharaoh said, who is wiser than this man who can turn this project into a reality? Is there anyone wiser than Joseph? No one. And for that wisdom, because he understood the significance of prophecy, it did something in the present. And then he was promoted. And when the 7 years of great famine came, it did not destroy Egypt. And God used that to bring Jacob and his entire family into Egypt, which was the beginning of the formation of the nation of Israel, because 430 years after that, God will bring his people out of Egypt. And it all was because Joseph understood the significance of prophecy. God gave us prophecies, which means my heavenly Father is telling me his child that this is what Father will do in the future. Will my son, my daughter believe me? If you believe, live your present life in light of this certainty. That is what faith is. And that's why the Bible says, here is the patience. Endure whatever suffering you are going through right now for Christ's sake. And the faith of the saints. Believe. Live your life in the present and no longer be motivated by mammon. Everything on this earth will one day be ruled and owned by the first beast, assisted by the second beast. Your home, your land, your property, your job, your company, everything, even though it may be in your name right now. But when he rises to power, it will all be taken over by him. And your heavenly Father allowed this. Otherwise, they would not succeed. For a purpose, that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in power and great glory, he will punish the Antichrist and the false prophet, the second beast, by sending them to the lake of fire in this mortal flesh, Revelation 19. And that's where they're going to be for eternity. For the great deception and the great damage that they will do to millions and billions of people by making them think that the Antichrist is Christ, that the false prophet is the Holy Spirit, and the dragon is God the Father. And all that evil, these two despots will be cast in the lake of fire alive in this mortal flesh, implying that the punishment and the pain that they're going to endure in the lake of fire being burned alive in this mortal flesh will be much, much worse than other unbelievers who die in their sin, who find themselves in hell, and then God will raise them from the dead, empty hell, and then cast them in whatever resurrected body that they'll be in, into the lake of fire. This is the end of this world. This is the conclusion of the last day. Will you believe? If you have ears to hear, listen. If you have really heard the voice of God, change your life. Change your present life of service. Change your heart. Your motivation has to be the love of Christ, not the love of man, mammon, and promotion. That has to stop. Because if you truly believe what your Heavenly Father tells you to do, then prove it by a life of holiness and stop living the life of carnality. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, tonight, that the word that we have heard this evening are indeed the word of God Almighty himself. And may our hearts tremble as we understand what awaits everyone on this earth, that this is going to be the culmination of the greatest wickedness and evil that the world could ever know nor experience. O Lord, may Thou be merciful. Open our eyes that we may behold wonderful truth out of Thy holy word, so that the fear of God will be placed in our heart, that we may no longer live in sin, but to live in righteousness. And to someone who is still outside Christ this night, may Thou reach forth into this person's soul and cause this person to turn to Christ for the only deliverance that he can experience from the grasp of the Antichrist is to believe in the Jesus Christ according to Holy Scriptures. May Thou be merciful to hear us and transform the lives of all who truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and as our Savior, that we will no longer live for mammon, nor after the things of this world, but we will live only for our Savior, so that by our good works, they will see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven. Hear us for Jesus' sake. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.